Ours have been since we entered into Victory Life, been a very much a blessing to us, as they are to thousands of people, not only in our locations, but Pastor Lee is connected to a ministry that's reaching the world. And I'm excited that he's comes here every couple of months or so and ministers word. So why don't you welcome Pastor Lee to the podium, if you will.
Love you, my friend. Thank you. All right. I did hear somebody say in a meeting I was in today that they need some more potato salad. So if you have a potato salad thing, go ahead and make sure you sign up and be a part of it. Thank you, sir. Mark chapter 4. I got a long ways to go and a short time to get there, so you're going to have to listen in Michigan ears, because we can talk really fast in Michigan, so. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we open up your word, open up our hearts, Father God, that we might be able to receive the engrafted word of God and be changed thereby. Father, I thank you that you go before us, Father God, and prepare the way. I thank you for the word changing lives tonight, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 4, very familiar. I mean, if you've been saved 2 weeks, you've probably heard this verse. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 3. Jesus is speaking, it's in red. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some, talking about seed, fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. One translation says it became unfruitful. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then in verse 13, he basically says, if you don't understand this particular parable, you won't understand all the other parables. So in essence, he was saying, this is a key parable for unlocking other parables and other things that the Lord is trying to communicate to us. And so when I look at that, I don't know about you, but as a person who wants to please God, and I read that, some 30, some 60, and some 100. I know Stan and I, as leaders, we want everybody to be a 100-fold individual. Someone who the word is sown in them, and they yield a 100-fold return. Now, if you're an investor, you would want to invest in something that gave you a 100% return. And so I just want to share, because the Lord showed me some things about these verses, that we have something to do with being 30, 60, or 100-fold. We have a response to the Word of God. Now, if you haven't ever heard this parable is actually about God's Word and our hearts. And he was talking about different hearts receive the Word differently. So he's actually talking about us. Now, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. One of the things I love about God is he never sends me anywhere to speak to chairs. He always encourages me to speak to people. And these verses are very familiar with us, so much so that oftentimes we miss what God is saying because we already think we know where the man of God is going. And so it's really important that we pay attention to what the Lord is saying to us individually and what the Lord is saying to us as a person. Notice verse 4 again. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. If you're taking notes, our first response is to be receptive. This particular heart was unable to receive anything from God. The birds came and ate it before it even had a chance to bear any fruit whatsoever. And the reason that happened is because they were unwilling to receive it. Bless y'all's heart. We have people we enjoy listening to, and then we have people we're not so sure about. And Thank you for your honesty. Some laughed. It's okay. I have favorites too. I have people I love listening to and others I endure. I get that. But I always have a heart to receive. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but God spoke through a donkey in the Old Testament and saved a man's life. I'm living proof God can still use donkeys. Okay? Just for what it's worth. You need to be willing to receive. And I think this is one of the areas, Christians I know, this is where actually they get tripped up. Because there are actually levels of receiving. And this is where a lot of Christians say, I believe I receive. And they have to a certain degree. But they haven't actually received it to a place where it changes their life. Now, let me just say this. Your first act upon this earth was receiving. Before you cried, you had to inhale air. Your first response on this earth is to receive so that you can give. Your first act as a spiritual being is to receive Jesus so that you have something to offer. We are unable to give what we don't have. You know, you may really love me tonight. And if I said to you, I need $50,000 right now, and you may want to give it to me, but if you don't have it, you can't give it. And so we have to receive so that we can give. God gives to you, not just for you. You need it, I need it, but he gives to us so that we can give to others as we've been given. So your first act on this planet was to receive. The fastest growing minds on the planet are children. You know why? They're willing to receive. They're asking questions. They're always, children will wear you out with their questions. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is the water so close to the shore? Why does that cloud look like Pawpaw? But they are growing exponentially. You know why? They're still willing to receive. They're still humble enough to say, I don't know, so I'll ask. You know what happens to adults? We're afraid to look stupid. And so we stop asking. We stop seeking. Because we don't, everybody else must know the answer to that because nobody's asking us. So I don't want to ask it. And we don't grow. We don't receive because we're not humble enough to receive. Children don't know the questions they're asking are stupid. They're just questions. But that's why they're growing, because they're asking questions. And as they're asking questions, their mind is expanding, and they're putting two and two together, and they're finally getting a grasp of their world. But we get grown up, and we're afraid now to look bad in front of our peers, and we stop growing. We stop asking. You know, I opened up by saying this is a very familiar verse. Most of us, if we've been saved 2 weeks, know this particular parable, because it's a key parable. But some of you may have never actually studied this parable. And you might be paralyzed to actually ask questions because I just said everybody else knows this. And the enemy will go, well, you don't know it. Don't ask now. But a part of the blessing, you're going to love this. A part of the blessing of God in my life is I was born into a non-religious home. I was raised heathen. Period. And that's actually a good thing. It really is, because I didn't have anything to overcome. I didn't have any rituals. I didn't have any teachings. I didn't have any dogma. I didn't have none of that. So when I got saved and they said, read the red and pray for the power, I said, okay, that's what I'll do. If it said in there to pray, I pray. If it said to witness, I witness. I didn't have a bunch of stuff to keep me down. But I was also willing to ask because I knew I was ignorant. And you want to find great leaders. Great leaders who are humble are still asking questions. Great leaders are still willing to listen to others. And God can teach you things no matter how much you've studied from somebody who's only been in this thing a couple weeks. If you'll just keep your ears open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. My daughter, when she was young, loved horses. And we taught her to pray and believe God. When she acquired 3 horses, without asking, she believed for him, and people gave her 3 horses. We told her to start praying for land to put the horses on, right? But she loved horses, and one of her horses, he was really, really old, and he eventually died. And she asked me, she's just young now, she asked me, now, are there animals in heaven? All children want to know dogs go to heaven, the cats go to heaven, and the horses go to heaven. But I didn't know. I said, I don't know. She said, doesn't it say Jesus is coming back on a white horse? Well, there's at least one horse in heaven. Maybe your red horse will become white when he gets to heaven. I don't know. But you can learn from anybody if you're willing to receive. If you keep the soil soft. If you're pliable. Listen, a church service on any given night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, whenever we have a service, if the body of Christ would come with a receptivity attitude, coming believing that God was going to speak to them, coming believing that God was going to speak into their situation and give them a word to stand on, services would change overnight. But people come to church with no expectation. Oh, we're going to have worship, and we're going to have a word, and then they're going to dismiss, and I've already been saved, so it's not for me. And they miss out on something God had planned just for them. I'm just a conduit. I preach what the Lord told me to preach, but the Lord takes it and he speaks to you in it because the Word of God has the power to speak to you differently than it speaks to the person next to you. One person will be crying, man, they're under conviction. The other person's just laughing their head off, set free. The same Word, but it works differently because of the Holy Spirit's ability to take the living Word and give you something. But you got to be willing to receive. And I've found that it's the levels of receiving that most of us get tripped up in. Now, if you've ever gone to the grocery store to get food and you buy food, now I'm going to answer it, so it's a redundant question, don't answer it. It works better when I answer it this time. If you go to the store and buy food, have you received the food? The answer is yes. You've received the food, it's yours, it's in your hand. If you have a Bible at your house, have you received a Bible? Yes. But have you actually benefited from receiving the groceries as long as they're in the cabinet? If you are sick and you need medicine, and you go get the medicine, have you received your medicine? Is it able to heal you? Yes. But can it heal you stuck in a cupboard? No, because there's levels of receiving. You have received it, but you haven't received it to its full potential till it actually is in you. Are you listening? This is a great word. You got to get it in you for it to benefit you. Some of you are going to leave here. You're going to go eat. It does you no good if it sits on the plate. Man, that's a good-looking steak. Oh, man. And it just sits there. It doesn't help you at all if it just sits there. You got medicine that can cure you. If you never take it, it doesn't serve you. And a lot of Christians, I believe I receive, but it's still sitting on the shelf. It's not in them. You know, by insinuation, one of the things that's being said here is you know you've received when it's benefiting you. When you're starting to feel the effects of it. Now, men are notorious for taking medicine until they start feeling better, and then they don't want to take it anymore. And they end up sicker longer than they need to be because they started feeling better. But you have to take the medicine till it's gone. That's what the doctor will tell you. Take all 30 pills. I don't care if you're feeling better. And then, well, I feel good. I don't need this anymore. And then they're sick for 2 weeks instead of 10 days. When we've received the Word of God, it starts making a difference in our lives. Now, here's some of the problems I have found with people receiving. We are notorious for gathering people around us who think like we think. And we will not receive new things. We will have people surround us who agree with what we believe. You know, there are some people who are teaching you don't need to tithe. And they got chapter and verse and all that kind of stuff. And they're just telling you. And they will gather around other people who you're not supposed to tithe. And they think they're right. And they'll tell you, well, that was Old Testament law, which I agree. But if you go back in the Old Testament, it actually wasn't even 10%. The Jewish people actually gave 30%. We just know about 10 because we choke on it. Well, I'm not under law. I'm under grace. Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that because if you're under grace, it's all God's. Okay. Let me challenge you because it's just in me. I got to do this. It's just in me. The law says, thou shalt not kill. Grace says you can't even hate in your heart, which is harder. I've never killed anybody, but I've struggled with anger. I know none of y'all have. Y'all are just so awesome. So let me pick another one for the guys. This ought to get all of us. The law says thou shalt not commit adultery. Grace says you can't even lust in your heart, which is harder. You know why grace is harder? Because grace is the power of God. So don't tell me about the Old Testament law on giving. Because New Testament grace says it all belongs to God. And you're just a steward. Okay. See, we have a tendency not to receive because we gather people around us who think like we think, and we don't want to be challenged. So it's a problem. It's a problem. Another problem is we trust Google more than we trust God. Man, I know I'm right. I Googled it. Are you kidding me? You are a goober. Googling for truth. You need help. We trust Oprah and Dr. Phil and instead of the Word of God. I live in a generation where everything is just Google it. Yet you Google things and they'll point you in a direction you were never intended to go. So we don't receive from God because we trust other entities more. And we think we're submissive people when we're really just people of agreement. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and challenge again. Man, I'm submissive, Pastor. You're not submissive till you disagree with them. Wives think they're submissive to their husbands. They're not submissive till they actually disagree. I'm in agreement we should buy the van. You're in submission when you let him buy the motorcycle. The women are going, please move on, please move on. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. When persecution and tribulation comes, as spoke of later, and because it had no root, it withered away. Our response, if we want to be a hundredfold individual, our response is to get rooted and grounded. I'm extremely concerned about the body of Christ in America as I see us evolving, even with the grace message. I love the fact that our pastors are teaching grace and truth because I live in a generation that it's all about me and they don't know how to handle anything hard. It's all about planes and trains and God being your butler instead of your buckler. God being your buckler is the thing that holds all the armor together because you're in a war. We need some Holy Ghost guts in this day and time. We need some stituitiveness in our walk with God. We need some ability to stand tall in our Christian faith and not cower down to all these political entities. Listen, I love being a Christian, and I don't mind telling anybody. I love where I'm at. You don't have to agree with it, but I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to be it out loud, and you're just going to have to deal with it. I'm going to pray for my food, and people are just going to have to deal with it. I'm going to open up the door for my wife, and the world is just going to have to deal with it. We have no rooting and grounding because it didn't have any root in and of itself. Let me speak to the younger generation. You're not going to get into heaven on your parents' walk with God. If you don't have any walk with God yourself, if you don't have any rooting and grounding on your own, you'll never make it in. You can't make it in on their coat sleeves. I don't care if they're deacons in the church. I don't care if they're governing elders in the church. I don't care what they are. You have to make a decision for Christ. It says because they had no depth and no root. When the hard times came, they withered away. Now, I believe this speaks of two different things. And throughout the Bible, you and I as Christians are metaphored with trees. Blessed is the man. He shall be like a tree planted, right? We're called trees in lots of scripture verses. And I love the fact that God uses trees because trees have two different distinctive kinds of root system. They found a fig tree and measured the roots of this fig tree 400 feet down. Man, it had Chinese roots. I believe our depth speaks of our walk with God. That we need to learn to trust God no matter what happens in our life. Too many people trust God until things go south, until things don't work like they think it should work, until something bad happens and they didn't get their particular prayer answered the way they wanted it answered and they throw in the towel. But have you read your word? There's a real enemy whose job it is to steal, kill, and destroy. And everybody in this book went through trials. Every last one of them had things they had to overcome. We all want to be more than conquerors, but we don't want to conquer anything. We don't want to earn our stripes. We want to go down to the local army surplus store and borrow stripes. Sew them on and walk around like we did something. What a slap in the face to everybody who earned those things. The people I respect the most are the people who have been through stuff, have been through desert experiences, have believed for something and it didn't happen and they trusted God anyway. Where are the people of God who say, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him? My God is able, but even if he doesn't, I'm not bowing down. Where is that today? Those are the kind of people who shake the nations. So our rooting in depth speaks of our relationship with God. But then there's the huge sycamore trees that are hundreds of feet tall, gigantic trees. But their roots don't go down very deep at all. But they have found the roots of a sycamore tree can cover an entire acre, one sycamore tree. The roots go out wide. I believe that speaks to our relationship with one another. Because what happens with the sycamore trees is their roots go out. And as they go out, there's another tree next to it. His roots are going out. And they get intertwined with one another. And because they're so intertwined, when this tree starts to lean from the wind, this tree holds them anchored. And when this tree starts to go, this tree holds them anchored. Which is why I believe you need at least four friends. Amen. I think you need four covenant friends so that no matter which way the wind is blowing, you stand. You've got somebody holding you from being blown over. It amazes me how God is a covenant God. And we are actually a covenant church. Our church is based on covenant relationships. But the body of Christ has become unconnected. And I think this is a part of the problem. Because we send an LOL to our brother. And we miss actual laughter. I like the lady that snorts when she laughs. Have you ever had one of those? I love that. You know why? It's real. See, you all laughed. Do you feel better or worse for laughing? You feel better. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, relationships are messy. I get it. We're crazy. Write this down in your notes. People are crazy. But at least it's a universal sickness. They're crazy everywhere. And I don't know if you know this or not, but you're somebody's crazy. Not me. Yes, you. Write it down. You are somebody's crazy. But we need one another. You have gifts and talents and ideas and things that you've been through that I need to hear that will help me in my walk with God, help me in my walk with my wife, help me in my walk with my children. We need one another. Some of you can't figure out why Sister Loudmouth sits in front of you, but it's because you have an issue and God is dealing with it. Some of you can't figure out why the long hair is always in front of you and you have to look at his ponytail. It's because you have an issue and God is dealing with it. Some of you have a real issue with me. That's why I keep coming back. Because God ain't finished with you yet. We need to get rooted and grounded deep and wide so that when the trials come, we don't fall. We don't fail. We don't throw in the towels. Too many Christians do not know how to handle when things don't go like they think it should. But and what they think is they're going to make God answer their prayers the way they think they need to be answered. And when God doesn't do that, they throw in the towel. I have people who are still calling me mad at God that grandma died at 98 years old. Why did God take her? How long did you expect her to live, dude? Well, we were believing for 120. I don't know anybody that's made that. Nobody. Believe for it all you want. We're all going to die. We have an expiration date. But they're calling me. God took her. No, dude. God received her. God received her out of all this craziness into paradise again. But we don't know how to handle that because I'm walking in faith. Well, you know, there's a greater faith that says she's in heaven and I'll see her again. I'm going to spend eternity with her. The Bible says, encourage one another with these words. So we need some depth of relationship with God and some width in our relationship with others. Then in verse 7, and some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it became unfruitful. It was fruitful for a little bit, but it became unfruitful. How did it become unfruitful? It was choked out. Our response, if we want to be a hundredfold individual, is to stay focused. Our response is to make sure we stay focused on the things that actually matter. Our generation that's coming up, I'm so scared. Squirrel! Some of y'all listening to me and your phone goes, and you just have to look. You can't pay attention. You take that thing everywhere you go. You don't take your Bible everywhere you go, but you take that phone. And you're trying to have a communication with your wife and that phone goes, and suddenly there's a third party in your relationship. And you think you're really awesome because you put it face down. Simon Sinek says, oh, aren't you magnanimous? I love that. So you put it face down. We all hear it go and vibrate across the table. We got to stay focused on the things that matter. Listen to me, saints. I've come to the conclusion. I tried to figure it out. I've been in the ministry now 40 plus years. And I've been trying to figure this out. I've done somewhere around 600 funerals. And that gives me a heads up on most people. That shows me something that most people never see. I see it over and over and over again. And that's the regrets that people have at the end of their days. Nobody goes to their grave going, I wish I'd have spent more time at the office. Nobody goes to their grave going, I wish I'd have collected more money that my kids can spend. What they regret is they didn't maintain great relationships with their family and their friends. What they regret is that they didn't live true to their heart and do what was in their heart, that God-given gift, that calling that was in them. They wanted to be a musician, but Dad talked them into being a lawyer. And they made all kinds of money, but they were miserable their whole life. I'm a little smarter than the average bear. It only took me 600 funerals to go, you know what? I don't have to die with regrets. I can see what other people regret and make sure I don't do that in my life. Stay focused on the things that matter. You can only put so much stuff on your plate. And we keep trying to add stuff to our plate. We love the idea of multitasking. All multitasking is a great way of doing two things miserably. Yeah, write it down. Put it on a t-shirt. You're not actually multitasking. You're just doing two things poorly. And the statistics are coming back. Even as we're walking this path, we're realizing we're not multitasking. We're jumping from one thing to the other, trying to get two things accomplished, and we're not doing either of them justice. We don't know how to stay focused. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, choked it out. It was all temporal stuff choking out eternal destinies. Stay focused on the things that have eternal value. Stay focused on the things of the kingdom. Can I tell you right now, the only thing on this planet that has eternal value is people. I don't know if you know this or not. I don't care how fancy your car is. It's going to end up in a junkyard one day. Your fancy duds, your clothes that you're so proud of, one day going to wax a car. But when you invest in a person, you invest in eternity. Stay focused on the things that matter. Amen. Go ahead. Give it up. That was good. Verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, there's several reasons for that. I'm only going to pick on one tonight. And this is our response. Our response, if we want to go from 30 to 60 to 100-fold, is to use what we've been given. And then more will be added unto us. You can go from a 30-fold return to a 60-fold return if you'll use what God gave you. But we as a people are so prone to overvalue what others can do and undervalue what we can do. It's so supernatural what God has placed in your heart to do that you think anybody can do it, but they can't. And so you think, well, anybody can do this, and you value this thing over here that you can't do. The person that plays the drums really wishes he could sing. And the person that sings really wishes they could play the guitar. And the person that plays the guitar really wished they could play the piano. And the musicians all wish they could preach. And the preachers all wish they could sing. And on it goes. It's the trick of the enemy. One of the things that I stumbled in accidentally because I wasn't raised religious is to just do what I felt God called me to do. And my whole life, I've been a talker. I got spankings for talking. I got good grades and the teachers loved me, but on my report card, Lee likes to talk too much. Then I got in the ministry and I got paid to talk. And I called my dad up and said, Dad, guess what? I just got paid for what you used to spank me for. Yes. And because I used what God gave me, he's given me more. I'm now writing books, and they're changing lives across the country. I don't know what God gave you to do, but I promise you, use it. If God gave you the gift of encouraging, encourage everybody you come across. If God gave you the gift of drawing, you draw. You make sure you're accessible to people who need things that are drawn, because I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. I need somebody who can draw. On it goes. Use what you've been given. Because here's the truth of the matter. If you go back and look at Mark chapter 4, verse 25, and Matthew chapter 25, you'll read the story, the parable of the good steward who gave his servants talents. And the guy that had five gained five more. And the guy that he gave two made two more. And the guy that he gave one hid it because he was afraid. You know what keeps most people from being used in the kingdom? Fear. Fear. I'm afraid. Well, guess what? I speak afraid every time. When I get up to speak, most of you don't believe this. When I get up to speak, them butterflies that are in my stomach turn to dinosaurs. Most people think that I sound so ready and, man, I'm just, you could eat lead and spit nails, but I do this thing afraid. I do this thing afraid. And let me tell you something. The day I get up here and I think I can do this, I need to sit down. Because then I'll be trusting me instead of trusting God. But because I used what God gave me, I get more and more opportunities to speak to more people, to influence more people. You got to use what God gave you. If I had 50 seeds, I don't know how many people are here, 100 seeds, 120 seeds, however many, if I had seeds in my hand that matched every last one of you, the best way for me to know what this seed is and for it to benefit the world is to get it planted. Put it in the ground, and it will grow up to be what it already is. If you will just get connected, if you will get involved in church, well, I just don't know what to do. Well, do something. Don't sit in that pew and expect it to fall out of the sky. Do something. Get hooked up. Find a life group. What's on the inside of you will find its way out. And if you're a fruit tree, you're fruity. That's okay. We'll enjoy the fruit. If you're a nut, we'll enjoy the nut. We're the body of Christ. We're assembled together. Some of us are bolts and others of us are nuts. It all works when we connect. Every joint supplies. Ephesians 4:16, every joint supplieth. The body of Christ ought to look like this. I'm being supplied by somebody, and I'm supplying somebody. Well, I've only been saved 2 weeks. Then you're 2 weeks farther along than the guy you're witnessing to. Everybody ought to be being supplied and supplying. Use what you've been given, and more will be added unto you. I'm finishing with this. James chapter 1, verse 23. He says, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Too many Christians are unhappy in their Christian walk, but it isn't because God isn't good. It's because they're not doing anything. You want to see a miracle? Believe for it. Go do something. Go pray for somebody. What if they don't get healed? Well, they were sick anyway. I'm just crazy enough to go, well, we're going to gain just by believing God. Let's pray. Miracles happen when you step out and do something. Just let God put you in the place. And there's more ministry at Walmart than you can shake a stick at. All you got to do is pay attention. I'm not a rocket scientist, but when I see people in Walmart and their eyes are all baggy and their makeup is running, they've had a bad day. I don't need a whole lot of Holy Spirit intuition to get that. I'm just crazy enough to go up and say, is there something I can pray about? And man, people just tell me their story. And I believe God right amongst the fruits of the vegetables. For God to do something. And he does all the time. I'm telling you, light is more powerful than darkness. God rules Walmart if you go in. I know, I got to close. Let me tell you one story. I'm in Walmart. I'm down at the photo section, the IT, where they got the laptops and all that photo stuff. And I'm standing in line next to a guy who's standing in what looks like it ends up being his daughter. I was right. And he's drunk. I mean, drunk. And I'm just standing next to him. And I wasn't dressed in a suit. I was working on the lawn. I was just a gardener. I'm just standing next to him. And he looks at me. He says, I've been drunk for 4 days. I said, you have? He said, yeah. I said, well, why? He said, listen, he said, I caught my wife in bed with my best friend, and I've been drunk ever since. Now, religious people would have jumped all over him for being drunk. And I just looked at him and I said, that has to hurt. I can't even imagine. I'm not so sure that's not what I would have done. I said, but is it okay if I pray for you? He said, would you? He don't know me very well. I said, yeah, I will. So I did, Father, in the name of Jesus. But I didn't yell either. I just said, Father, in the name of Jesus, this hurts. This man's hurting. And he's responded to that hurt the only way he knows how. But Lord, I thank you. You care about him. And you care about his situation. And you want to restore his broken heart. And only you can do that. And Father, I thank you for restoring his broken heart. I thank you for you showing him you have a good destiny in line for him and helping him find it. And Father, I pray that he would find somebody that would stand with him in the midst of his situation and walk this out with him. And I just ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And when I finished saying amen, Walmart was silent. You could have heard a pin drop. There were all these people standing in line with eyes that big around. When you just are willing, God will change lives in Walmart. God will change lives in Walmart. I want to close, so I'm done. And I've been asked to just encourage, communion is coming, and to just share with you the importance of communion. And I have to tell you again, because I was raised non-religious, the first time I heard somebody say, we have open communion, I was like, what's open communion? I had no idea that there are churches you can go to that tell you you can't partake in communion if you're not a part of this body. But you are free to receive communion tonight because we have open communion. We encourage everybody to partake in communion. And communion, saints, is powerful. There are so many things we won't have time to go into all of them tonight. But one of the things I love about communion is it always speaks of our unity one with another. They, in the time, Jesus said he broke bread. So they had one loaf of bread and they broke it. And they gave some to Tommy and some to Tammy and some to Kathy and some to Stan and some to Ginger. And when it was all said and done, the whole loaf was distributed amongst individuals. So it spoke to, we are one body. We have unity because of Christ. The fact that one of my best friends on the planet was a highway patrolman and I was an ex-drug addict speaks of the unity only Christ can bring. The world is trying to get black and white to get along together, and they're trying to mandate it, but it doesn't work that way. We become unified because of a person, Jesus Christ, and he makes us one. And we have unity where we're in covenant one with another. And so when we receive communion here in a minute, we're speaking into the fact that we are one body. Many members, but one body. And he said when we partake in it, we're supposed to remember all that the blood and the body bought for us. Well, a part of what he bought for us was unity. Only God can do that. It's amazing. You can go into a whole other country that's got a completely different culture. And if they're saved and you're saved, you're family. Only God can do that. It speaks of God's sacrifice for us. He said, as often as you do this, you remember these things. You remember the sacrifice I made for you. You remember what I did. We just went through the Easter Sunday service where we remembered the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. We're going to receive communion and we're going to remember these things. And what I ask you to do is just imagine in your mind one loaf of bread being broke, that when we leave here, that whole loaf is in us. A piece of it's in me, a piece of it's in you, and we are one. Amen. Pastor Stan's going to come and give us the instructions on how we do that.
You know, I love it with Paul sharing when, in the area of Corinthians, when he was talking about communion and what Pastor Lee said a while ago, you can't give what you don't have. And Paul, that very passage, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered unto you." And he starts talking about what the Lord had received and what the Lord had given. And I also appreciate Paul saying in another passage, I think in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I may not be trained as an eloquent speaker, but I do have knowledge." And he's expressing that faith. And you know, one thing about you and I, we may not have certain aspects of eloquence or anything like that, but we do know the Lord. We do know the Lord. And we know what? You know what? He's coming back for us. And you know what? His word is true, and he's faithful to his word. And as we take communion tonight and receive communion, man, let it be an aspect of your faith. You know that by his stripes we were healed. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for our life to give us eternal life. But his body was broken that we would live and that we could gain those precious promises that he made for us and paid for in the atonement on the cross. And so maybe that's your faith tonight. So if you would, let me just give you a few points of instruction. Let's all stand to our feet right where you are.